Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of Ezra, chapter 5. Here's Pastor Ryan.
So, Father, again, we come before you this evening with praise and just we want to give you honor and all the glory for all that you've done and all that you're doing in our lives. We are here for you, Lord. You are worthy of our praises and our honor. Lord, may you be glorified even now as we study your word. Open our eyes spiritually, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Lead us into your truths, Lord. Pour out your grace. May it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name we pray, and together we say, Amen. All right, so in Ezra chapter 5, as you know, the first returnees from the captivity of Babylon have returned to Judah, Jerusalem, Israel. And we know that there are three waves that will come. This first one is with their leader Zerubbabel. The second one will be with Ezra, and the third one with Nehemiah. And so we're dealing with the first wave of returnees. And as you know, they began to rebuild the temple of the Lord. They began with building the altar to the Lord and began to worship the Lord again. And it says that in spite of their fear, they offered offerings to the Lord, sacrifices, and praised him and worshiped him. And they were fearful because they were foreigners who had come into the land those 70 years when they were in captivity. And the foreigners were worshipers of pagan gods mixed with the worship of Yahweh. And so they didn't obviously have God's best interests in mind. And so they came in and they wanted to join in the rebuilding, but the Israelites said no because they knew that they were not true worshipers of Yahweh. And so these adversaries hired counselors, lawyers, and they wrote a couple of letters, accusatory letters, saying that the Israelites were rebuilding the temple, the wall there, only to conspire against the kingdom of Persia. And so this was a lie, of course, but they sent the first letter to King Xerxes and afterwards to his son, King Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes wrote back that the Jews were to stop building immediately. So they read these false accusations and they said, stop the building immediately. And so by force of arms, these representatives there of the Persian Empire forced the Jews to cease the building of the temple. And thus the work of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And so that's where we're at right now. The rebuilding has ceased until the second year of the next king, Darius. And so the time frame is 15 years. It ceased at 535 BC, and it would commence 520 BC. So that's 15 years after it was stopped. Now, the Lord had kept his promise to his people. He freed them from the captivity of the Babylonians and brought them back into their land. And through the king of Persia at the time, Cyrus, God moved Cyrus's heart to give them permission first of all, he freed them from the Babylonians, and then he gave them the articles that were stolen by the Babylonians that were in the temple. He gave them finances to help build the temple of God. An amazing thing happened. So the order was from the first king who conquered the Babylonians, Cyrus, but it was because of God. God touched his heart and loved his people and allowed them to be chastened for 70 years in captivity because of their sin. But God brought them back in the land, and his command to them was, rebuild my temple. That's God's word, rebuild my temple. But however, as we just discussed, the letter from Artaxerxes said to cease. And so they ceased. And they would cease for 15 years. The people not only stopped building at the letter of the king, but they also fell asleep spiritually. They fell asleep spiritually. We don't read about them fighting for or challenging those letters at first. We don't see any resistance on their part. They just ceased and stopped and did not continue the work. It seems to me, and according to the prophet Haggai, which we're going to go to right now, that they were fine with the work ceasing. They were fine with it ceasing. And that letter really showed where their heart was. The king says to stop. The King of Kings says to go on. Who are you going to listen to? And so they ceased 15 years. And they were fine, I believe, with the work ceasing so that they can go back to their own lives, to their own business, to just living for themselves and not in obedience to God. Think about that. I'll say it again. I think they were fine with the work ceasing. And they were fine just going about their own business without concern for the house of God or for his will. It's almost like their inaction. Their inaction to the king's orders to stop. It was almost as if they were co-signing that letter themselves by not making a fuss over it. The king's letter was their way of not having to live for God 100% until the prophet Haggai and Zechariah show up to speak truth into their lives. This word is huge for the church today, especially in our country and especially in the state of California, where there were edicts that were handed down during COVID that we should not meet. Yet they opened up houses of ill repute. There's no kids in here. Strip clubs. Marijuana dispensaries. Of course, Costco, Home Depot, Walmart. People can gather there, you see. But they couldn't gather in God's house. And so the whole church was put on display before the King of Kings. We have a little king in Northern California, and we have the King of Kings. And so we were able to work through that, all of us. Mostly everybody came back, and I'm blessed. But if it ever happens again, all of us get a do-over. Meaning, don't believe the hype. Keep meeting. Keep coming together. Turn with me to Haggai, and we're going to see what the prophet says at this very moment in the history of what we're reading here. Haggai is one of the last books of the Old Testament, so go towards Matthew. Go, and it's right before Zechariah. Give me an amen once you are there. Why do I hear pages still moving? We read in verse 1 of Haggai 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to
Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land, and the mountains on the grain, and the new wine, and the oil, whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. And so we read here that the work commenced. It continued again, finally, after 15 years. And I love it, the fact that it started at the word from the prophet. It was the word of the Lord through the prophet that stirred up the people, that brought conviction to the people, that brought faith to the people. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. And so when the prophet speaks, or when the pastor, the preacher, or your Bible speaks, it should speak in such a way that your heart is brought to conviction by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit to do what it is that God is telling you to do. Back in chapter 5 of Ezra, it says that the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, they prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. I like that. They preached in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. In other words, when Haggai preached and when Zechariah preached, it was in the name of the one who was over the Israelites. It's almost like they are drawing the attention of the Israelites back to their God. You're not taking care of God's house. You're not doing what God says. Come back to God. Come back. And I appeal by the name of the Lord who is over you. And I like that, because whenever we need conviction, change, repentance, to get going and serve the Lord, or come to church, be involved, it's always good to say in the name of the Lord who is over you, because people forget who is over them. If you can disregard, and I can disregard who's over us, shoot, we can do whatever we want and deceive ourselves that we're good with God. Remember, when Haggai was sent to them, the Lord said, I'm sending you to the people who are saying now is not the time to build the Lord's house. They were actually preaching opposite of what God had wanted them to do. They were spreading a lie. They were leaning on their own understanding. It ain't the time right now. Right now, It can't be the time right now. Why? Who says it's not the time right now? Taxerxes, whatever his name is. Who says it's not time right now? Newsom? Listen, the way our flesh works, okay, our flesh works in cahoots with these governors. Does that make sense? I hope not to insult my flesh, your flesh, all of our flesh. Our flesh wants to co-sign, don't have to go to church. Our flesh wants to co-sign, don't need to go to prayer, we got this. Our flesh wants to say, we can watch it on TV, to all of you watching on TV. Think about that. Your flesh and my flesh will co-sign with these governors all day and all night. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The spirit says, oh no, I need to draw closer to God. I need more church, not less. Amen. I'm in the business my calling is that to encourage and to reiterate and to constantly remind the church. Paul said it, Peter said it, to keep doing good works, because our flesh will say, no, I'm good. It's enough for me just every now and then. I'm good with God. I've heard it all. I've heard all of the excuses. All of the excuses why people pull away from church, pull away from serving, pull away from fellowship. The big one is work, and we can all understand work because we have to make a living, right? I'm so blessed that I worked 30 years in a secular job. 20 years with Caltrans and whatever else I did before Caltrans, I did. And then as a pastor, as a senior pastor, I worked 10 years bivocational. That means I drove from Fontana down to Banning on a Wednesday night, pouring water on my head, and then coming to teach a Wednesday night, then doing it on Sundays for 10 years, two jobs. And I'm an unprofitable servant. It's not like the church blessed me with enough pay that I was able to leave my work. I couldn't take care of my family with what the church could provide. It didn't matter. I'll serve the Lord for free. I owe him for forever for free. And there's people out there who just think, oh, you know what I mean? I got to get paid. I got to get paid to serve the Lord. And their attitude stinks and it's terrible. It's like, if God can provide, fine, it's cool. And eventually that happened for me and I left Caltrans and woo. Now I can full time dedicated to caring for his church. So I have compassion for the whole, I gotta work. But I want to appeal to those who don't even try. I'm appealing to those who don't even. Jesus said, knock and it will be open for you. Seek and you shall find. The door will be open. We're told in scriptures that God can turn the king's heart like the rivers of water in whatever direction he wants to. There are very mature Christians in knowledge, and they ignore bringing that knowledge that God can change your work, your schedule, your everything, so that you're at church on Wednesday night. My appeal is to those who don't even try. This is my boss's schedule. He needs to fill spaces, and we get that, we understand. And then they co-sign it. I cannot come on Wednesdays. I cannot come to prayer night because I work. It's like, yeah, but the problem is you're dealing with faith. And you're dealing with the King of Kings and the creator of the whole universe. He can absolutely change your schedule. Show me, I appeal to those who don't even try, show me your Connect card with your name on it, with so-and-so who can't be here on Wednesdays needs prayer for his boss, his boss's name, so-and-so, that the schedule would change so that they can be. You know why it's not here? Because they don't want to be here. Woo! But that's what happens when you go on a mission trip.
You remember who you are in the Lord. You remember the struggles. You remember, yeah, don't tell me you can't be here. I understand you can't be here, but why aren't we praying that you're here? Because why? Why? Who's bigger, your boss or God? Who wants you to be here, God or your boss? Now, the sad thing is, it's in our text, you have heathenish kings saying, whatever God needs, provide for it. Provide for him. And sometimes heathens understand how important the church is. It's like, you know, the heathens who don't want to follow God, but they're like, I think it'll be better for society if you guys do your thing. Here's thousands of dollars. We'll pitch in. Wow. And we who love Christ, it's like, oh. And so we see what Haggai says. He says, like, basically everything positive that they would have wanted for their own lives. They want the work of their hands to be blessed. When they plow a field and it rains and they seed it, they do what they have to do in that agricultural society. They want to harvest. They want it to rain. They want God to bless. They want, as a family, to enjoy the work of their hands, eat it with their children, with their wives, with their husbands. They want to be blessed. No doubt. And God tells them, yeah, but I'm making sure you are not blessed. Why? Because my house is avoided. God's people are avoided by you. And we cannot play games with Jesus. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you to do? I've had terrible bosses and terrible schedules. I worked for Caltrans. I was the lowest guy in the totem pole as a dispatch clerk. And you know what? I had to make it work. I did what I did. I tried. I sought the Lord. I pleaded with my bosses. And for a season, there was nothing I can do, but I tried. You know why I went through that experience? Because he knew I would be a pastor one day and people would come to me with excuses. And I'm going to turn around and say, or have you pleaded with your boss? Have you prayed? Did you come with the ladies before church here on Sundays and said, I got a prayer request. I need a better schedule. Yeah. No. Why not? If Zechariah, you read the first chapter of his prophecy to them. He's like, tell them that I was angry with their fathers. Tell them that I sent prophets to warn them about their evil ways. And remind them that their fathers didn't heed my warnings. Tell them not to do that. Tell them that if they return to me, I will return to them. And that's just the way it is with a lot of Christians today. They don't know why they're so bummed out and depressed and full of anxiousness over their bills, over their car note, over this, over that, over their children, over this. Nothing's working out. Kind of semi-not. But I go to church on Sundays. Yeah, but God knows you ain't even trying to come on Wednesday. And God knows that you know that everyone's meeting for prayer and you're ignoring it. How did I get up here? Who is this man? Who is this man? I don't know this man. But that's just real stuff, you know, right? The reason why it's said, because God wants the work of your hands to flourish. He wants to say, oh, you worked little and I gave maximum. You know, you made a little bit of money, but I made sure your pockets had no holes on them and that lasted the whole month. I made sure your sandals didn't wear out, the tires on your car didn't wear out. And that's why he's saying, is it time for you guys to have your paneled houses and look at my, you know. But that's how he works. Why? Because we...
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.